The Salvation Series, Part 4, The Book of Life. Then those who feared Yahweh spoke with one another. Yahweh paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared Yahweh and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Elohim of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves Yahweh and one who does not serve him. Malachi 3:16-18. The Book of Life has been the subject of many misleading ideas. For example, evangelical preachers often link the Book of Life to an emotional appeal, urging people to accept Jesus as their personal Savior, so their names will be written in the Book of Life and they will go to heaven when they die. Of course, there are several things wrong with this appeal. For one, the scriptures never tell people to accept Jesus as their personal Savior so they can go to heaven. Secondly, an afterlife, per se, is not mentioned in scripture. In Matthew 5:34, Yeshua reinforces that heaven is Yahweh's throne, his residency, the place where spirit dwells and abides. And he's quoting directly from Isaiah 66:1. The kingdom of Yahweh tells us whose it is, and the kingdom of heaven tells us where it is. But there is only one kingdom referred to in scripture that belongs to spirit. Yeshua also said the kingdom of heaven is among us right now, since Yahweh's throne, which now abides within the faithful who keep his words, is seated in heaven. Neither do the scriptures say that if they espouse Jesus as their Savior, their names will be written in the Book of Life. Most think they know what these words mean because they heard their interpretation from someone they knew and trusted, who was simply repeating what they had heard from someone they knew and trusted they had given the words the due diligence they deserve. But how many of us have actually researched the words ourselves to find their true meaning? Words mean things, and if we are to build our faith upon a firm foundation, we need to know for ourselves what these words say and mean, not what traditional religion tells us they mean. We are called to be like those early faithful in Berea and verify whatever is being proclaimed is truth or not. The way they did that was to search the scriptures, and the only scriptures they had access to that spoke of the essence of truth was the Torah and the prophets. The messianic scriptures had yet to be written. It is, therefore, the duty of everyone seeking truth to open the whole of the scriptures, to call upon the Father, Yahweh, who is truth, for understanding and to find out for themselves if what is being taught is truth or not. And that's found in 1 John 2:27. There are many voices calling for our attention in the spirit realm, and the farther we get from the source of life, who is truth, those voices only intensify. Finding life and truth is what this quest is about. Many have been taught to rely solely on what they hear in spirit to guide them into the light of truth. However, that approach is problematic since different spirits will often present themselves as angels of light. Yeshua said his Father is looking for those who will seek him in both spirit and in truth, not sacrificing one for the other, but allowing each to validate the other. The Father has given us an instruction manual as a map to help us find our way through this spiritual maze to Him, the source of life, because the truth of the nature of spirit is contained in Yahweh's words, and He will never deny Himself. Life is not the instruction manual itself. The manual only speaks of that life. Life is found in an intimate relationship with the one who is truth, manifested in the life of the Son. It is imperative that we use the manual to dig for truth ourselves and not settle for anything less than the excellence of truth as exampled by the Son, just because it might be easier to do so, Romans 3:4 tells us. The sole purpose of these articles is to encourage you to simply look at the words written on the pages of Scripture for the meaning they contain in the light of the original language, the context they were assembled in, and with the appreciation of the Hebrew culture and mindset they were written from. The refusal to look at Scripture just for what it says without overlaying a preconceived theological template upon it is the definition of tradition Yeshua gave in Mark 7:13. The embrace of tradition is the only attribute Yeshua ever pointed to that he said would bring to none effect the power of the living Word in our lives. To know Him is to know Him in truth, we're told in John 8:31 through 32. The first mention of a book in which names were retained or blotted out is found in Exodus 32:33, the first of six mentions in the Tanakh. Whether these words refer to a physical book or scroll is not the point. It is what the words mean that we need to pay attention to. The Hebrew word for book is sefer, the root of which is sefar. And that Hebrew word actually means take account of, to reckon. There are several interesting points here to examine. First, it is not Christ's book, as most preachers would have you believe, but Yahweh's reckoning. Second, there is no mention of when or how the names are added or subtracted, only that Yahweh has such an accounting and that He reserves the right to blot out the names of those who sin against Him. We are told in 1 John 3:4 that everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. The book spoken of in Exodus 32 is obviously an indication that there are different consequences awaiting those who are obedient to Yahweh's words and those who are not. There will be something positive for those whose names are in the book and something negative for those whose names are not in the book. There's nothing in the Messianic writings to suggest that Yahweh's book has been done away with, nullified, or supplanted by some other book. Some believe that only the names of the spiritual elites, in other words, the giants of the faith, are written in the book. However, this raises a question of why names would be blotted out once they are found there if only these elites get their names in the book in the first place. Neither does this position seem consistent with 1 Peter 1:17. In other words, Yahweh does not play favorites, but gives everyone the same opportunity. Therefore, a better position seems to be that the names of all people are recorded in the book from birth. Whether those names remain in the book is dependent on the choices of action each of us are confronted with making in the ever-evolving cycle of life. The concern, then, is not how to get our names in the book, but how to prevent our names from being erased from the book. Add to them punishment upon punishment that they have no acquittal from you. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Let them not be enrolled among the righteous. Psalms 69:27-28. In this psalm, while asking Yahweh to take care of his enemies, David adds a new element. He refers to the book as the book of the living, or the book of life. David was saying that those whose names were blotted out should not come into your righteousness, which was his way of saying they would not enter Yahweh's kingdom. Those who would enter the kingdom do so by the washing of the water of Yahweh's words, as we're told in Revelation 22:14, and becoming one in the nature of spirit with Yahweh, John 3:5. Even as Yeshua is, we are to be right now in his words, we're told in 1 John 4:17. Just as Yeshua was one with the Father, so are we to be one with Yahweh. By Yeshua's own confession, his purpose was for the restoration of the kingdom to Yahweh's family, Israel. This purpose is thoroughly chronicled in the Kinsman Redeemer series. This passage in Psalm 69 is a good illustration of the positive and negative aspects associated with being in the book of the Source of Life. In other words, those whose names are in the book, those who are at one with Yahweh, will gain entry to the kingdom of Yahweh at his appearing. This is a powerful point. The whole thrust of the message preached by Yeshua and the apostles concerned the kingdom of Yahweh, we're told in Luke 4:43. Many years before that, however, David said that only the people whose names are in the book of life would gain the kingdom. This is just another example where the New Testament is not new at all, but simply an expression of the original words of Yahweh in the light of the resurrection of the Messiah of Israel and his fulfillment of the promised restoration of Yahweh's kingdom to his family of Israel, seen in Matthew 15:24. Given this, a prime concern should be how our names remain in the book of life. Daniel 12:1-3 mentions that entry into the kingdom is a blessing for those whose names are in the book. Nothing is said about heaven. The actual phrase, the book of life, was first used by the apostle Shaul, or Paul, in Philippians 4:3. Shaul evidently believed that the names of those laboring with him were still written in the book of life. It does not say how he knew this, but he knew the original writings and could certainly have discerned it from there. All the other scriptures pertaining to the book of life are in Revelation, and as just seen in the last paragraph, these verses in Revelation reinforce the message in the original writings, updated in the light of Yeshua's accomplishment. In Revelation 3:5, Yeshua said, "He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father." The word translated confess comes from the Greek word exomologeo, which means to acknowledge that someone is in agreement with you or with someone who serves your cause. Please note that Yeshua did not say he would add the names to the book of life. He simply affirmed that he would not blot them out. He also said that he will acknowledge their names before the Father. Oh, what a promise! The message here in Revelation is the same as the one delivered by David and Daniel. The overcomers will be the ones who actually enter the kingdom of Yahweh. The emphasis here is on the positive aspects for those who have bent their will to becoming obedient to the words of Yeshua. And Yeshua said that his words were not his, but those of his Father, in John 14:23-24. On the other hand, this verse clearly implies that there is a definite possibility that names can be erased or blotted out of the book through disobedience to Yahweh's words. So to keep our names in the book of life requires us to be an overcomer. The question then becomes, How do I become an overcomer? An overcomer of what? Revelation 21:27 says, "But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." A more literal Greek rendering would be the Book of the Life of the Lamb that is now written on the hearts of those who embrace Yeshua's life, hence Lamkin. The book belongs to Yahweh. Those entered into it have embraced the testimony of the life of the Lamb. Those who embrace the testimony found in the life and words of the Son are to live as He lived, overcoming the temptation of the world by becoming pure, even as He is pure. "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." John 15:15.